But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
All right, 104. McMonagle here with you. Let's talk. Can we talk a little baseball? Why not? I miss it already. I miss it so much. I miss it, especially now that I'm an Optimum subscriber and I couldn't watch the Rangers blow a 3-0 lead. And I missed the last couple of Nick games. I'm gonna have to figure it out because I can't, you know, I can't continue missing. I've been hoping that they're gonna fix and settle this thing. But I don't know how long, and now it sounds like I saw a report that Optimum might drop WPIX, Channel 11. And if that happens into the baseball season, that's the Mets' secondary games are on WPIX, I believe. So, like, they got to fix this thing. But now I got to do the Gotham app. I don't know. I miss baseball. I miss turning on the TV every night and having the Yankees and the Mets. I miss it. It's a companion, and I miss my companion. I miss my friend. Let's talk a little baseball, because I got to tell you, the last couple days, and I'm happy, you just heard Marco talk about Polanco. Brian Cashman, and here's my happiness with the Polanco thing, and then my fear of the whole situation. My happiness with Polanco is that the Yankees are out there searching for another infielder, because I am deathly afraid that the New York Yankees are going to be okay with starting DJ LeMahieu at third base. I think they view the idea of having DJ at third as a possibility because it moves the infield around in a position where they're more comfortable with, where obviously they're able to play him at third base and... because they can move Jazz Chisholm to second base. Like, if they have DJ LeMahieu play third base, you're looking to have Jazz Chisholm at second. Because everything you hear is that the Yankees would rather have Jazz Chisholm at second base. And that they've talked about having a defensive, like, and run prevention type team. Like, that's been the pivot. The pivot hasn't been go get Santander to replace the home runs from Juan Soto. The pivot hasn't been go out there and get the best bats available. The pivot has kind of been, yes, listen, Bellinger has the ability to do that. I'm hoping for a bounce back year from Goldschmidt. But it kind of feels like they've really tried to get back and try to, you know, get around some of their ills of last season, which were athleticism and defense. And I do think they believe Jazz Chisholm is a better second baseman. So, like, right now, my fear is over Oswaldo Cabrera, because Oswaldo Cabrera doesn't make any money, and they're paying $15 million to DJ LeMahieu. So if they have LeMahieu as their other guy, I think that's they play him at third, they play Jazz Chisholm at second, and at least they think they're defensively sound. But what Polanco and the other most puzzling addition that's been bumbling through my mind for the last 3 days, Luis Arraez, do, at least it proves to me they're out there on the market trying to improve, because I can't go into the year with DJ LeMahieu as the Yankee third baseman. It can't happen. Super utility infielder making $15 million isn't excellent roster building, but that's what it's got to be. Because I can't have him be my starting third baseman. So although Polanco had a miserable year last year, and let's be honest, that's almost where Seattle's where every offensive player goes to die these days. They can't get a hitter to come in there and perform to save their life, going back to Robinson Cano. Even Julio Rodriguez hasn't, even though he's number one on this dopey shredder MLB list where he's the number one center fielder in the sport, has not had, you know, the type of start to his career. I think as many would I think they, you know, he's been solid, but he hasn't been the superstar out there in Seattle. But Polanco's had a terrible year. He's coming off knee surgery. I don't want Polanco, but at least they're connected to all of these infielders, and at least that tells me they recognize they can't start the year with DJ LeMahieu at third base, even if it makes them a better defensive team. Go out there and find a second baseman and put Jazz Chisholm at third. And I talked about Luis Arraez a little bit yesterday. And I got to tell you, for someone who I believe has won three consecutive batting titles and is a excellent offensive player, and I shouldn't even say that because that's part of it too. Like, he's not even an excellent offensive player. He's an excellent hitter. Like, that's all he does. So the idea, like, hey, Chris, they might trade for a three-time batting champion. That sounds excellent. And for the lineup, you put Luis Arraez in front of Aaron Judge. You put a guy that's had a career .370 on base guy in front of Judge. I mean, it solves their leadoff problem. It puts a guy in front of Judge, which I think is very important because right now, I don't think they have that prototypical, certainly not someone like Juan Soto, although he wasn't behind Judge, but they really don't have that hitter behind Judge. I would think right now Bellinger is the guy behind Judge. So if you have a guy in front of Judge, that gives him, you know, a little bit more protection than having, you know, it makes it a little bit more palatable to not have that big thumper. And I think Bellinger can have a decent year. And who knows, if Stan's hot at any time, you could put Stan there, even though they want to do the left-right thing. If Stan is going off, or even if Goldschmidt gets hot, or Jazz Chisholm gets really hot, maybe you can move him in front of Judge at different times. But they don't really have that clear-cut guy to put behind Judge to help him get pitches and help him get fastballs. So to get someone who has a .370 on base percentage in front of Judge changes this lineup. And I've been going on and on about how the offense is the most important thing, and come postseason time, you got to score runs. And this would help them immensely scoring runs. But I got to tell you, I look at him as an offensive overall player. Like, he is a one-tool player. All he does is hit for average. He hits for zero power. Zero. I mean, his slugging percentage is under 400 last year. I mean, this is a guy who had a war of one. A one war player who wins a batting title? How is that even possible? He does nothing else offensively. Now, he gets on base. And in front of Judge, that's all I would care about. It would have helped the lineup immensely. But ultimately, I think he's overrated because he doesn't do anything else offensively. And then you get to the real issue. He's terrible defensively. He's terrible. Like, he played first base a lot for the Padres last year. Like, as a second baseman, Gleyber Torres had his errors, and Gleyber Torres was ranked 30th out of 30 second basemen in the league who qualified. Arraez did not qualify because he didn't play enough at second base. Gleyber Torres had some range. Gleyber Torres had a strong arm. Gleyber Torres had tools that could have allowed him to be a pretty good defensive second baseman. He could not get around the mistakes. He could not get around the boneheaded mistakes. He was lazy around the bag at times. He made the critical error at times. He was not a good defensive second baseman, but he had the ability, if he could ever figure it out, he had some of the tools to be better than he was. Luis Arraez does not have any tools. He is really non-athletic. He doesn't have range. He doesn't have a throwing arm. He is just flat out a terrible defensive player. And I feel like overall, I'm willing to work with that if that's something the Yankees could do. Now, the reports are the Yankees were in on him from Passan, so it's legit. I mean, Passan doesn't speak unless he knows it. So they're in communication with the San Diego Padres about Luis Arraez. Now, John Heyman came out and said that then that it doesn't seem to be a fit right now. I don't want to upset John Heyman, but there's some thought while Boris still has second base potential free agents out there that there's, you know, he's going to feed some media members the idea of certain things to try and help them. And but I don't want to upset John Heyman, so I'm not going to go there. But even John Heyman and the reports, Andy Martino's talking that they have had discussions, but they're kind of far away. So, like, it's kind of a salary dump. And right now, until they trade Marcus Stroman, I don't know if they have the $14 million. I mean, they have it. It's whether or not Hal wants to do it. But the main part is I've wrapped my mind around the idea that the Yankees are going to be far more athletic and the Yankees are going to be damn good defensively. And I've been thinking about that as a second baseman or a third baseman that they could bring in. Obviously, Alex Bregman would be the home run. Screw the luxury tax. Go out and sign the great player. He's great defensively. He's very good offensively. Yes, he's trending down. It's going to cost a lot of money. It's not the perfect signing. But that's the big move that makes them very good. Great defensively. At third base, you move Jazz Chisholm over to second base. And now you're a very good defensive infield. That's why I was even open. And now the talks are sounding like he might go to Boston, but I was open to Nolan Arenado. Because if you could find a way to have St. Louis eat enough of that money and bring Nolan Arenado here, he's still brilliant defensively. And I think offensively he can have a bounce back year. But I've kind of wrapped my mind around the idea that the Yankees were going to be good defensively. And I understand that overall the positive nature of him being a 370 on base guy at the top of the lineup helps the Yankees enough where I want to do it. But, I mean, he is a dreadful, dreadful second baseman. And it's funny because, you know, typically when you think of a light-hitting, like batting champion, light-hitting, no home runs, slap the ball around the park, it usually comes with athleticism and good defense. And yet he doesn't provide any of that. I think Luis Arraez is an overrated player. Who you can tell because he's been on how many teams over the last couple of years, and the Padres are looking to dump his $14 million. A Padre team that's right there as one of the best teams in baseball, one of the best teams in the National League, trying to compete for a World Series, compete in that division with the Dodgers, and they're looking to move on from their batting title champ. Like, why? Because he doesn't provide anything else. Anything. So that's why I have to tell you, it's one of the more puzzling possible acquisitions for the Yankees that I've, because I close my eyes and see him hitting in front of Judge, and I'm like, man, that solves a lot of freaking problems for the Yankees. That solves a lot of problems. And then I see Jazz Chisholm still trying to figure out third base, and I see Luis Arraez playing second, and I go, and an aging, although better than Rizzo, I would still think at this point, but an aging Goldschmidt, and I'm like, well, how good defensively are we? I mean, I know it's only one player, but if you think about it, you're not moving Jazz to his better position. You're keeping him at third. You're putting arguably the worst defensive second baseman in the sport at second base. You have Jason Dominguez, who I don't think is going to drop balls left and right the way he did when he came up at the end of last year, but I still don't know what kind of defensive player he is. And now suddenly, yes, Judge and Wright. Yes, I still think Volpe's an excellent shortstop. Bellinger's a great outfielder. Goldschmidt's going to be better than Rizzo at first base. Wells is a good catcher. Like, they still should. I think Jazz Chisholm has the ability to play third base. So I don't know if they'll be a dreadful or a bad defensive team, but they're not going to be what I hope they would be. It keeps Jazz still there, it keeps Jazz at third and puts a terrible defensive second baseman there. Polanco's not much of a second baseman either. So I'm still on board. I know there hasn't been a lot of talk around Nolan Arenado anymore. There were some reports when right around the time that Paul Goldschmidt was going to sign that he would be willing to waive his no clause to come to the Yankees. Prior to that, he wasn't. But once Goldschmidt signed, there was some thought he could. I haven't heard anything around Nolan Arenado in a long time. But I'd almost prefer that because I think he's still got some pop. I could see a big year from him. It makes them a much better defensive team. It puts another bat behind Judge. It still doesn't solve the leadoff hitter issue, but There's a couple of different infield situations that could make this Yankee team better. Ha-Seong Kim is still out there, a guy they could sign, free agent, had a down year this past year, but was really a very good player the 2 years before that, good defensively. So, like, I don't know exactly what the best fit is, and I could see myself being happy with anything because I can't have DJ LeMahieu be the starting third baseman. Can't have it. And he will be if they don't make another move. It will not be Oswaldo Cabrera. It will be DJ LeMahieu. So do I have issues with Luis Arraez? Yes. If I found out this morning that they traded for him, I'd be super excited at the idea of that lineup. Do I think Nolan Arenado is aging and not quite as good as he used to be? And at Yankee Stadium, might his home runs come down because he's such a pull hitter in that deep left field? You know, is it a perfect fit? How much money is it going to cost? How many years? You know, blah, 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 blah. But if they do it today, I could sell myself on, wow, he could have a bounce back year, and they are going to be excellent defensively on the infield. Like, there's a bunch of different options that, even though I don't love them and they're not great, like even Alex Bregman, another one. They signed Alex Bregman to a contract because his market collapsed and he wants to be with a winner, and he signs a 3 or 4 year deal. And I'm like, well, I mean, now he got him till he's 36, 37. His numbers have been trailing downward. You know, he's coming from the Crawford boxes in Houston to big Yankee Stadium. His home run numbers are coming down. Like, I don't know if it's a great signing to give multiple years to him. I don't know, but I'll be pretty freaking excited about the ability of this team this year. And to me, winning this year is worth worrying about next year. Like, the Judge and Cole window of winning is still part of the problem and part of what they need to solve. So, a lot going on. Brian Cashman still has something to do. They still have to go figure out a way to trade Marcus Stroman and figure out to get some of that money to make any of these things plausible. But at least Arraez earlier in the week, Polanco today. Brian Cashman needs to be on the market to find another infielder because I can't. If they bring in Polanco, I wouldn't love it, but I'll feel better about it. And hey, if DJ LeMahieu outplays him in spring training and DJ LeMahieu outplays him at the start of the year and DJ LeMahieu is better than we all thought, okay, great. Then Polanco becomes your bench player and DJ LeMahieu is your third baseman. You move Jazz to second and you're probably a better team. But I can't just go into the year hoping that DJ LeMahieu is going to be that guy, hoping that DJ LeMahieu is finally healthy, expecting DJ LeMahieu to be anywhere close to a major league ball player. I can't go into the year with it. Can't. If it pleasantly happens, great. Because I love DJ. I love everything he brings. Hell, if DJ is the player he's been, that solves your leadoff hitter too. I mean, DJ LeMahieu being back to himself is probably the best thing that could happen to this freaking team. But I can't go into the year expecting it, and he doesn't deserve a spot to start the year. So at least Brian Cashman is out there inquiring about other infielders because I was worried that they were just going to call this thing quits and have DJ LeMahieu be the third baseman.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game, and that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.